For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
If you've ever wanted real energy without choking down something that tastes like regret, Bucked Up is the answer. The flavor is the thing people keep coming back for. Insanely delicious, which is not a phrase usually associated with energy drinks, and they're built on real, science-backed ingredients. Clean energy that actually works without the garbage you don't want. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Pittsburgh, make some noise!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Los Angeles Rams select Ty Simpson.
Okay.
Wow. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Actor Phil Dunster. Coming up, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Right back here in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. We chopped up the draft with Daniel Jeremiah in hour number one. The TV show Rooster, starring Phil Dunster in part. He also, Jamie Tart from Ted Lasso. Back in the day, we just had a great chat with him. If you missed anything, go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. That's where the Overreaction Monday podcast post NFL draft is residing. Joining us here, one of our favorites on the program, and it is great to see him here, courtesy of the Relax It's a Blood Test campaign that highlights making sure you are screened for prostate cancer. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Olson back on the program, right, from Fox Sports. Good to see you, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, it's good to see you, Rich. What's going on, man?
I'm better for seeing you. What'd you think of the draft?
You know, I thought it was fun. You know, I find that there's so much coverage going in and so much speculation and so many stories and articles written and obviously a million mock drafts. So, you know, I feel like by the time the draft comes, we all have a pretty decent sense of who are the guys. I think the Ty Simpson pick obviously was the main kind of surprise, at least in the top half of night one. You know, certainly I don't think a lot of people had the Rams going quarterback there, kind of in a win now mode with Stafford and all that. But, you know, I enjoy the draft. I think it's fun to see how teams, you know, view the draft board. You can get a really good sense of what teams value certain positions. And, you know, no two organizations approach those elements kind of the same way. And I think it gives you a really good insight into how certain teams view roster building and roster construction. And I enjoy that aspect of it a lot.
Well, I mean, you know, since you were part of the combine coverage for a couple of years on NFL Network, you know how we normally handle things on NFL Network, which is not to immediately say this is terrible or, you know, this is something that's a total surprise and they shouldn't have done. You know, it takes a while to figure this stuff out. And you know what it's like to also develop a quarterback. So that's my long-winded setup by asking you what you thought of Ty Simpson being chosen by the Rams.
Yeah, certainly after every selection, after every draft, you know, every NFL front office, we never have seen a coach or a front office personnel, GM, president, ever get up there and say, you know, the draft, it didn't fall the way we wanted. Yeah. We didn't get any of the guys that were at the top of our board.
I know, man. You see the draft rooms, right? They drafted the pick, 230th pick overall, and they're all hugging and high-fiving and shaking hands, like, and they're clapping, you know. I hear you. I know.
You know, yeah. So I think everyone exits the draft with a renewed sense of optimism. I think that, you know, in the big picture is a big reason why the NFL is king. I think every season, organizations, players, coaches, front office, of course, fans, there is a renewed annual optimism going into every season. And that's what makes it fun. That's what makes every team feel like they can compete. But, you know, specifically about the Ty Simpson pick. And then I think, you know, the press conference that followed with McVay, I think there was some speculation about his body language. And I think his explanation was actually really sound. You know, here's a guy who's a highly animated, super engaging, big personality. And then him and Les Snead sit in front of the media following the Ty Simpson pick. And, you know, he seems a little bit more subdued than we're traditionally used to seeing him. But in his mind, he's doing it out of respect for, you know, Matthew Stafford and, you know, the MVP and a guy that just, you know, had the season of his career at this stage. You know, you're up there being a cheerleader and pounding on the table for how excited you are about this new rookie. And, you know, could it be seen as a jab to Stafford? So I think in McVay's mind, that's what he was trying to portray. And it certainly makes sense. In their mind, they probably don't ever think that they're going to draft that high. I think with the success that they envision having this year and with that young talent and their ability to draft well the last couple of years, they feel like their roster is set up for a lot of success. And, you know, if you want a quarterback in the first round, you're probably taking them in the top half, top 10. So there they are sitting there in the top half to draft. Maybe they don't think in the next couple of years they'll ever be there again. And Ty Simpson is a guy that they believe he's not the quarterback this year. He might not be the quarterback next year, but we've seen teams, you know, do that. Look at Green Bay with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers with Favre. I mean, there's a, you know, Mahomes. So we can see a lot of really good quarterbacks that were drafted when there was a clear starter in place. And 1, 2, 3 years later, they transitioned in and have had great success.
Yeah, I go back and forth on it, Greg, where, you know, obviously how difficult it is to win in the NFL. And you could use the 13th overall pick on somebody who turns into Jared Verse, because whenever Les does use a first round pick, it works, even though he rarely does it. And then, you know, you could draft a rookie and then it's got to be Jared Verse in order to get on the field because Sean doesn't play rookies. You know, it's a tough one to wrap your arms around, especially when, you know, the whole, like, they didn't get anybody for Matthew Stafford thing is blown up when Trent McDuffie's on the back end of this defense now, right? And you take a look at how, also, I liked what Seattle did, too. They didn't have many picks, but they went ahead and they got the second running back off the board, kind of dug that. What do you think of the Carson Beck pick by Arizona? I mean, like, he might be the first starter of the quarterback group this year, Greg, you know?
Yeah. And that's where things, you know, everybody wants to be, we'll just stick with the quarterback position because sure, it's the easiest one to talk about. Everybody wants to be the first quarterback taken. Everybody wants to be drafted as early as humanly possible. You want to be the first overall pick. You want to be a top 10 pick, so on and so forth. Where it gets really tricky is when you become the top pick of the lower mid rounds, because you don't get the luxury of being, you know, the 25th pick, the 20th pick in the first round. There's a contract, there's a different element of being a first rounder, but you also go towards a team that traditionally speaking was one of the worst teams in the league last year, unless they got that pick via trade or whatnot. So you look at Carson Beck going in, you know, those, you know, subsequent day 2, 3 rounds, and but you're at the top. You go to Arizona, a team that's clearly searching for their new identity. You know, LaFleur, you know, Mike LaFleur, now the head coach, going there trying to establish, you know, what are we going to be? How are we going to kind of rebound following, you know, what's been a difficult run these last couple years? They make a coaching change. They move on at quarterback from Kyler Murray. So, yeah, do you want to be the young quarterback playing? Of course. But do you want to be the young quarterback that's being thrust into a situation where maybe the roster around you is not real strong? Maybe the growth of the team is not really where we want it to be for you to go out there and really be evaluated and be in a position to have success? I think every organization in the NFL fights that battle. They're going to fight it in Las Vegas with Fernando Mendoza, right? Do you start Fernando Mendoza from day one, let Kirk Cousins be his backup and just let him take some lumps early? Or do you let Kirk Cousins go out there and be the veteran and let Fernando Mendoza sit behind him? We've seen teams do both. playing as a young quarterback helps. Playing as a young quarterback in a situation where you are going to have a hard time finding success and you're just going to get beat down over and over again because of the pieces around you or the status of the organization. We've seen it be a detriment to the future career of a young player, but we've also seen young players become better. So it's a very case-by-case basis, and you have to trust that these coaches and organizations know the personality traits of the player and which box they fall in.
Greg Olson here on the Rich Eisen Show, NFL on Fox, and we'll talk about a crucial blood test to prevent prostate cancer and find out what's going on in your body. Important subject matter we'll get to in a second right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Also, a draft can inform about what a team's about to do. And it sure looks like Mekhi Lemon, drafted by the Eagles, on top of Dontavian Wicks being acquired, on top of Hollywood Brown being signed, does mean A.J. Brown is going elsewhere. And you've got Sean Mannion now coming in. Pardon me. Sean Mannion coming in now to be the new offensive coordinator. Walk me through whatever you would know about the Mannion system, Hurts's abilities, all coming together to try and get this offense together. And it sure sounds like it's going to be a lot of new pieces for the Philadelphia Eagles coming into this season, with the Giants getting better, the Cowboys hitting the heck out of the defensive side of the ball in the draft. What do you think, Greg, about the Eagles' offensive challenges that we're about to see coming up?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a pretty significant change in just the way it looks, right? The way it's presented. I think the Mannion system, the tree he's coming from, the organizations and the coaches that he's been with is going to be more of the, you know, not necessarily the modern day McVay, but like think the Shanahan, LaFleur, under center, play action, turning your back to the defense, not sitting there and shotgun RPO quarterback read that we've seen really Jalen Hurts for the most part throughout the course of his career. Now, certainly it's a great fit for Jalen Hurts from what he did in college and what he's done growing up, and certainly fits his play style, his ability to be a designed runner. You don't want to put those guys under center very often because you lose the threat of the quarterback being a part of the run game, being a part of the RPO passing game and whatnot. I do think as they've shown the reluctance to run Jalen Hurts as much as they did earlier in his career, certainly the benefits of sitting in shotgun all day long have been diminished. So I think getting him more comfortable under center, working on the footwork, being comfortable turning your back to the defense on play action pass before you reset and find your crossers and whatnot. So I think visually it might look a little bit different. And then obviously that ties in with a little bit of a different run game with Saquon. And again, there's a lot of residual impacts when you make, radical changes in the presentation of your system. I think in regards to the wide receiver position and A.J. Brown, it's been one of the bigger mysteries in the NFL over the last couple seasons. You know, you're talking a premier wide receiver duo, on the outside with A.J. Brown, and we got tight ends, with Goddard and Saquon, and they got two of the best tackles in the league off it. So you start looking at the roster and you go, okay, this should be the best offense in football. And at times over the years, they've been awesome. And this past year, obviously not, the consistency and the high level production certainly wasn't there. So all indications are they are going to move on from A.J. Brown. I've always been of the mindset of like, you better have a really good plan in place before you just letting great players go out the door. And A.J. Brown is a fantastic wide receiver in the NFL. They've had a hard time building that passing game around his strengths over long periods of time. So I think now you draft in the first round, you acquire Wicks in free agency. So there's clearly a plan that Howie Roseman does have in place that they feel like it is addition by subtraction. There are examples of that throughout the league where you do let go one star player and things do get better. But in those cases, traditionally, you've gotten better either at the same position of the player that's left, or you've gotten better around him, or the system has changed. So they certainly check all those boxes as far as the transition to this new system for the upcoming season. But knowing what it's like to play with big time receivers like A.J. Brown, I got to play with Steve Smith. I've gotten to play with, those guys are unique and those guys change things on game day. And if you're going to let guys like that walk out, you better have a really good plan. And Howie Roseman has shown, in my opinion, you know, he's a top two personnel guy in the entire league. And if anyone's earned the right to make these decisions and have to trust that it's going to work out, it's him.
You know, and then there's the advent of the tight end position becoming such a crucial part of, you mentioned the Shanahan McVay offenses that have become more proliferate in the league. Now, Ben Johnson in Chicago, you know, and I remember when Loveland got drafted, it was like, well, they already have Cole Kmet. Like right now, if you don't have two or three or four, right? I mean, the Rams got another one, like, you know, like 16 personnel's coming in this league, right? Yeah. I mean, like, this is what we're seeing currently. Wouldn't you agree, Greg?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we used to joke that we need to find 05 personnel, right? Like, there's no backs, there's no...
Nice.
We're just going to have all the eligibles are just going to be tight ends. But, you know, I think it's a really interesting trend. And, you know, it goes back to, you know, kind of my first, when you asked me just my thoughts on the draft.
Yep.
I think aside from the individual players and their stories, which are great, you do get a pretty good sense of the direction of where the league is going and where leagues value certain positions at certain, you know, draft stages and certain pay scales and, you know, and obviously position. So I do think that especially in those middle to late rounds, the teams continuing to load up on the tight end position, there's a lot of different factors. Number one, there's just more of them, right? When I came into the league, it was a lot of converted receivers. It was a lot of guys who used to play basketball. They used to play quarterback. Everyone kind of became a tight end because whatever you were doing prior, you kind of reached the end of your rope. Now kids grow up playing tight end. Now kids are high school tight ends, college tight ends. It's a premier position. Some of the biggest stars around the NFL now play the tight end position. So it's just an entirely different growth pattern, like along the way for these young tight ends coming, you know, into and out of college. And then big picture wise, NFL play style, you've seen that as teams have gone, defenses have gone small. They've gone bend but don't break. Everyone plays deep coverage. And if you're going to score on me, you're not going to throw it over my head. Teams have said, okay, there is an inherent advantage to getting bigger on offense, right? More tight ends, getting under center, running the ball at people. And the idea, you look at the Rams, who you brought up, it's a great example. The success that the Rams had throughout the course of the season, and Seattle was very similar on their way to the Super Bowl, they were getting big because the idea is you're getting big because you want to run the ball at me. And as teams then on defense started matching them, what happened? All of a sudden now Jackson Smith and Jigba and Puka Nacua and all these receivers out of these big personnel groupings, it turns into a pass game. Mm-hmm. So there's a little cat and mouse there now as offenses are going to react to what defensive strategy is and getting big guys on the field, as many of them as you can. But with the idea being, yes, we want a threat to run at you, but we really want to have a threat to throw the ball at you. So the more guys that I can have in those personnel groupings, the better.
Yeah. And the Eagles drafted Eli Stowers, you know, like to go with Goddard. That there's your two there. I mean, you're seeing more and more of these teams do this over and over again, and it's changed things around. What's Relax? It's a blood test, Greg.
Yeah, so it's really been a lot of fun for anyone who tuned into the Super Bowl this past year. We had our big Super Bowl commercial debut. A bunch of tight ends, both current and former alike, came together. It was a fun play on kind of Relax Your Tight End. And there's kind of a stigma around prostate cancer screening, and it's the most common form of cancer among men in the United States. But with early detection, very treatable. And you know, the idea is just to get this campaign and let people know, like, it is a simple blood test and it is very easy to diagnose. It is very easy to detect early and it can save lives. So a conversation that probably years ago was not the easiest one for men to have with each other. We had a lot of fun with it. A really cool kind of play on tight ends and relaxing them. And I think everyone can kind of put two and two together what the idea
river.
Was.
Right, yeah.
It was
right.
Really well thought out. Novartis has been a great partner. And this campaign has reached millions and millions of people all throughout the country. And it's going to save a lot of lives.
Yeah, Relax. It's a blood test. Everybody should make sure to prevent whatever you can, a cancer that affects 1 in 8 men in the United States. and it can be screened with a simple blood test. Greg, you're good. And I'll give you the floor on your hat and your shirt, too. I know what it is, but go for it.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. So buddy. YouthInc is a platform that we started all around youth sports. The consumer facing element of it is, you know, youth sports content and our coaching and stories and interviews. And we bring on guests and specialists all across the youth sports landscape. For anyone who's raising a kid in today's world, son or daughter, it is an ever-changing youth sports experience. There's a lot of good, there's some bad, and there's a lot of unknowns. And then the backbone of all of that is there's a commerce engine for custom fan wear, custom gear for your son's travel ball team, your daughter's travel basketball, their school sports. So it's a really cool platform. It's doing a lot of education, and our overall goal, just try to improve the experiences that families and children alike are having in the youth sports landscape of America. And it's something I do virtually every single day of my life, and we love it.
It's always a pleasure having you on here, Greg Olson. You're one of my favorites, and I'll have you on anytime you're up for it, brother. Thank you.
Anytime. I always joke, my TV career started with you and Mayock. And
that's right.
Down on the ground doing NFL combine drills and evaluating the gauntlet. And here we are all these years later. You've always been great, and much appreciate all the support you've given me.
You survived us. You survived. You survived.
You started it all. I appreciate everything you've done.
I still feel the same way about the gauntlet drill, man. Like, what? Why do we have a drill where you catch it five times and you drop the football? Like, you got to catch it. You know what I mean? Like, they don't complete the process, Greg. I understand it's about how you can hold, you know, how you hold your hands, how you catch it, what your hands look like, and how you can, you know, run in a straight line and make sure you're doing the right thing. But these guys don't complete the process every time.
There's a lot of things in the evaluation process that we could probably do better. And we'll save that for my next visit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Olson, take care of yourself, bud. You be well.
Hey, Greg.
I appreciate
NFL
it.
NFL on Fox analyst. One of the best. I just worked with Joel Klatt over the weekend, now with our friend Greg Olson right here on the program. In a world that needs a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you are hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. You just heard about youth sports. Just make sure they keep the cleats off the seats. So the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid, also all about comfort. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details. When we come back, baseball. And I thought baseball was the only sport in which the unwritten rules being broken are applicable. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here. I've traveled all over for some of the biggest NFL moments you can imagine. Conference championships, Super Bowls, draft weekends, and everywhere I go, the city just feels different. It's buzzing, packed, electric. Now, take that energy and multiply it by the entire world. That's what's coming this summer with the FIFA World Cup. Fans from every corner of the globe are going to be traveling to experience it live. And when that many people come to town, they're all looking for a place to stay. And that got me thinking. If you live in or near a host city, this is one of those rare moments. You already have a space. This summer, you could list your space on Airbnb while fans are in town for the FIFA World Cup. Not as a full-time thing. Not as some huge lifestyle change. Just during an event when demand is naturally high. When I travel for big games, I just want a comfortable place in a real neighborhood. And that's exactly what so many visiting fans will be looking for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. Baseball!
Baseball! Very, very good.
Let's go to the phone lines.
I don't think we need to talk
Evan
about
this. Evan in Denver, what do you want to chime in about, Evan? What do you want to talk about, Evan?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, Evan?
What up, man?
What do you want to talk about?
This is for TJ. Yeah. TJ, I am unfortunately a Rockies fan and have been through many heartbreaks, but I was just wondering how you are feeling getting swept by the Rockies coming off one of the worst seasons in baseball.
Rockies fans calling in and giving some shade.
You know, it's just like dealing
to a Met fan.
So deal with other people. Rockies who have never won a championship. Right. At least we have some. I'm more concerned with the NFL draft right now.
Oh, here we go.
More concerned.
Evan, you bring this smoke all you want, man.
Well, he's in Denver.
Did the Rockies sweep the Mets with Juan Soto back in the lineup? Did that happen?
I mean, that's old stuff. We're on to the next one now.
Did they sweep? Did they just a doubleheader? Did they take all the games in New York? They took all the games.
Oh, it is interesting because we have one of the lowest payrolls in MLB, and the Mets I think have the highest.
Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. The Dodgers probably have the highest, but you never know.
Yeah, I think
Evan,
it's us.
Thanks for calling.
That's true.
Thank you. You're, please keep calling back.
It's like. The Yankees weren't like the torchbearers.
No, the Yankees were overspending. Yankees just won it. They won eight in a row, and now they're 8 over .500. And the other team is 10 under in the Mets town. It's odd. And then in between, you've got a Red Sox team that's won two in a row.
Two in a row, baby.
One of them, a winning streak that began with Alex Cora managing the team to a 17-1. Victory, which is interesting to be 11-17. Those numbers, if you reverse them, were 17. You take off one of the ones. That's the score.
Good for the
and then he got fired with most of the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And did you see this one? The van that they sent for the coaches to be taken to the airport was in a van that's from Coaches for Hire. That's the name of the service.
So bad.
It's the name of the service. Coaches for Hire.
Sick.
Interesting. That's a great move.
We're a first class organization.
Yeah.
A van at least.
Hey, Coaches for Hire. We've got managers and coaches to take.
Five. Hello? If you want to.
Hello. Coaches for Hire. Can you take?
What a joke.
I mean.
You want to say something? You got the floor. I'll give you the floor. What do you want
to
say?
What is there to say? We're an embarrassment. This is what I put onto it. We're the Marlins in fancier clothes. Like, we're not serious. Totally not serious. Do not care about winning.
Mm.
Just sell the team. If this is how you're going to behave, you know, Alex Cora is probably happy to be done with this organization and this and these guys, this front office. Like, complete joke. I'm not switching. I'm still going to watch. I still care. But, like... What are we doing?
Yeah, John Henry did not show up to the press conference.
And didn't talk. And when the players wanted to give input, he said, no, you're here to play baseball. Told them to shut up and dribble, essentially. Great. Cool. Really exciting. I'm sure everyone's pumped to put that uniform on every day.
Well, they won again. They are pros. They won. They won the next day.
Great. Cool. That's their job.
That's what apparently they were told.
That's what they're told. That's what their job is.
Oh, we'll be taking no questions.
Yeah.
But on your deathbed, you'll have total consciousness.
Yeah, great.
There'll be no questions.
Got that going, says the llama.
Yeah. So cool.
You got that going for you.
Cool.
Which is nice.
Just sell the team.
I'll tell you this. When I said we're going to keep on updating the standings just for our three teams, didn't think the Mets would be 10 under.
And on the Monday after the draft.
And then your guy gets fired. And Alex Cora would be fired.
Who's won a World Series.
I can't imagine.
And the team who is not good in 2021 was like a couple of plays away from going back to the World Series.
Right. I'm stunned. I would not have guessed that.
Fired.
It's crazy.
On that opening day where the Pirates put up like a three spot, right? And then the Mets put up schemes out of the game. Yep. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go.
Mets are back.
Here we go. It might be. Is it a Mets town after all? Nope. It's
still early, man.
It's still early. That's right.
My goodness.
We got like 10 under.
We got like 13.
You and the Phillies, man. You and the Phillies are in the private pile world of you-know-what right now.
They are terrible.
Woo. Oh, baby. Yanks won 8 in a row. I just wanted them to win yesterday so they would. I'd come in on a 9-game win streak. 9. But they lost.
No, you're good. I mean, right? You guys are what, the second best team in baseball?
No, they're not.
Record-wise.
They're close.
Oh, no, wait. Dodgers, Padres.
Dodgers and Padres.
Padres, yeah.
Reds are 18 and 10, too.
By the way, the Reds are playing well.
Nobody's talking about the Reds.
Well, the NL Central's playing very well.
Yeah.
As a whole.
So. My teams are doing great.
You're not allowed to talk in these segments.
My teams are doing great.
Kill your own mic, please.
This poll over here.
My teams.
Unwritten rule. Unwritten rule. When your team is about to win a playoff basketball game by double digits, and you have the ball
with one second left. I mean,
do you score or you just dribble it out?
I am team Jokic in this.
I am too.
I am not.
I am too. Did you see Shaq said he would windmill Vince Carter dunk it? And Charles then said, I'd be gunning for you. I'd say, who wants $500 to take him out? I'm Jokic as well.
Jokic was getting his face. That dude put his hands on Jokic.
Well, yeah, but Jokic charged at him like George Brett lost his home run to Pinetar.
And by the way, when are we going to get
that's what he looked like.
Jokic about this? He did the game before that. Anthony Edwards had the ball in his hand. There was a timeout called. They were going to commercial. So Ant's sitting there. Jokic does the same thing, runs out of his way to go try to grab the ball from Ant. It was unnecessary.
Did you see Jaden McDaniels after the game? They said, you know, what did Jokic say to you? Or did you say something to him? I just saw a man big as hell coming at me.
Like, come on. That was okay for him to run the whole way across down the court. He did more running there than probably the previous.
I don't know. Just dribble it out. Just dribble it out.
You didn't have to take the ball. You just could stand there and the game's over.
Or the clock's still running your momentum is carrying you towards the basket.
Just dribble it out.
No, what are we doing here?
Come on.
Stop being a baby.
Just dribble it out.
I'm saying it. Like, that was ridiculous what he did.
I thought he was being immature by dribbling, scoring.
I'm glad I'm here because the three of us do not think of
that. By the way, this is totally taking the oxygen out of, Anthony Edwards is hurt.
And probably out multiple weeks.
How about that?
The team said officially week to week, but Shams said 3 weeks.
Let's go ahead and see. So Wembanyama's out, they win. He returns, they lose.
After having a huge halftime lead.
Right? You know?
Or was it the other way around?
Wait, what are you talking about?
My bad.
Portland won yesterday.
Yeah, Portland was up big and
San
Antonio came back.
They came back and won. Yeah. But I'm just saying that also.
But they won when he was out.
The Lakers don't have all the players that they need.
No.
No stars. They're going 3-0. Did you think that was a technical foul, a flagrant on DeAndre Ayton? The elbow to Şengün's head. Even Şengün was like, I can't believe they ejected him for it.
Yeah, especially in the playoffs.
Or they flagranted him.
I think in the playoffs, you got to do a lot to get thrown out of these games.
You see at the end of the game, two guys, I forget which two it were, got into not even a scuffle that even you'd remember, and they both got tossed with like a minute left in the game. Like,
the thing about the Jokic thing too is, remember back in the David Stern days when was it the Knicks? They put like one toe on the line coming on the court.
And everyone gets ejected.
Everyone was on the court in this game.
Well, the game was over. So,
well, there was 1 second left.
I thought it was the buzzer. They just let the clock run out after he scored.
I don't know.
I mean, they were right in front of their bench anyway.
But still, that was back in the day. You got suspended.
Did you see the Sam Amick report from The Athletic that if the Knicks, even if they make the Eastern Conference Finals or win the East, that Mike Brown's still on the hot seat? This whole thing has been nuts, man.
These
playoffs have been off the charts. So far, off the charts.
Also, do we think Houston's coming back, right?
No.
Oh God.
Really?
It's going to be
Kevin Durant hasn't even played in the series.
I understand that.
And you're down 3-1.
The Lakers can win one. The Lakers can
win. They play like last night.
Jeffrey in San Francisco, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeffrey?
Hey, Rich.
What's up, bud?
How you doing, man?
How are you?
Hey, good. Listen, great draft coverage.
Thank you, sir.
And a great Jets draft, dude. Yeah, happy for you.
Thank you.
Back in the day, Ravens used to open their stadium on draft day. And we had a blast going down there, kicking field goals and having fun. I was 0-15, Rich, on my field goals, just so you know.
Yeah, well, there's next year.
It happens. Uh-huh. Hey, what do you think of that guard, and is that going to fix some of our problems? Because I'm not convinced.
I love him. He's got gold jacket written on him, and I don't usually say that. That's all I hear. He's that good, man. He is that good. He is that good, and I love the pick. And, you know, Jesse Minter comes from the Harbaugh world. And it that was it, man. I thought that was a totally Raven pick. It would have been a John Harbaugh pick. Minter comes from the John and Jim world. That works, man. That tracks. I loved it. I like him.
All right.
Couldn't be bigger on it.
Hey, can I give you a dog thing real quick before we go?
Okay.
Have you seen a documentary called Inside the Mind of a Dog?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. Your buddy Rob Lowe narrates it, Rich, and you need to watch it this week.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, Red Alert. It's really, really good.
Thank you for the call. That's Jeffrey in San Francisco.
Inside the Mind of a Dog.
Yeah, hey, listen, going to Susie and say you want to watch a documentary on dogs. Yeah, that word very, very
old. You're in there, right?
Did you see, speaking of the Ravens, did you see what our buddy Mike Silver reported in The Athletic?
I did not.
Eric DaCosta, who, as we all know, was the general manager who told the general manager who told John Spytek, you know, that trade for Max Crosby, it's not working.
Take backsies.
And everyone's like, does that mean DaCosta's going to get his by his own industry? Like, are other general managers going to trade with them or not? Or is he going to reap what he has just sown? Although it was his right to do it. And I was like, it'll be next year and next year's new league year netherworld of stuff's not official until new league year begins. And maybe that's when people will hold off on dealing with him or not. I have no idea if this is in fact born out of what happened between the Raiders and the Ravens. But according to Mike Silver, who did this whole write-up on DaCosta and spoke with him, quote from Saturday night, with three enticing options, DaCosta at 14 was willing to trade back, and he thought he had a deal worked out with a team, which he declined to name, that would keep the Ravens picking in the teens and allow them to pick up extra fourth-round picks in each of the next two drafts. Once on the clock, however, the trade fell through. This time it was not DaCosta's doing. Quote from DaCosta, we had something on the table, but inexplicably they told us they'd change their mind. They changed the deal and we passed. End quote.
Interesting.
What do you think?
The changed our mind.
Inexplicably, they're like, yeah,
You know,
everything that we planned, no, we're not doing it.
Picking in the teens. Okay.
Wouldn't say the name of the team.
All right. Let's see.
According to Mike, with the 14th selection, DaCosta targeted a cluster of players that included offensive linemen, Spencer Fano, Francis Mawinoa, and Ioane, wide receivers Carnell Tate and Jordan Tyson, and tight end Kenyon Sadiq. Reuben Bain was also there for the taking. As you know, Fano, Mawinoa, Carnell Tate, and Jordan Tyson were gone. Ioane and Kenyon Sadiq still sitting there. Sadiq went to the Jets two picks later at Bain, the very next pick,
so
to Tampa. I'm telling everybody, I know what Sadiq might look like for the Jets and how good Reuben Bain looked in Tampa.
Can you imagine Sadiq on
this kid,
Ravens?
This guard from Penn State, I never talk about what guards look like at the combine, unless they've got flowing red hair. You know, this guy, he was dominating. And I looked at
Daniel in a commercial break. I'm not even set on the air. I'm like, is this kid a top 10 pick? Why are we not? He goes, just interior lineman. That's it. Yeah. You're just not going to draft a guard in top 10. I'm telling everybody. The Ravens might have been done a favor for whoever changed the deal inexplicably. And they chose wisely. This kid is really, really good. But I just wonder if somebody's like, oh, see if, tell me how that tastes.
Yeah, who's
Toby?
Who's friends with people on the Raiders?
I forgot about that.
Well, Spytek came from Tampa, right?
Kobe, brother. Huh?
Spytek came from Tampa?
Yes.
Okay.
There's
a team in the teens.
I don't know. He wouldn't name it, but an interesting report from Mike Silver.
Yeah, they got a good one, though.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll wrap up this Monday show. Two great in-studio guests tomorrow to tell you about. Don't go anywhere.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Rich Eisen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app and share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required. Not available in all regions where PayPal operates.
If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. shopify.com/network.
Now that the draft is in the books, teams are still focused on developing future franchise players just like they were before and just like they're trying to draft. There's also fresh starts and fine-tuning their final rosters. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors is a choice you can trust with experts who help find the right products for your needs and install them with care. Discover why Pella Windows and Doors is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. Make life brighter with Pella Windows and Doors. Let's go to Terzo and I. He's been hanging on for the whole darn show. What's up, Terzo? How are you, bud?
Hey, doing well, guys. Hey, Rich, dogs are human.
Thank you.
I do agree with you,
bud. Thank you, sir.
Obi would have done the exact same thing, and if I stopped going to Carl's, people would start calling up asking where the dog is. I don't think they'd be too worried about me. But I got to thank you guys for showing Bob Odenkirk the graphic
yes.
that you guys put up. That
we
was,
did.
That was pretty awesome.
He loved it.
Appreciate you guys.
He loved it.
Very cool.
Hey, Terzo, we had a
sorry
to interrupt. We had a friend of ours from Pella Windows who lives in Des Moines, and he says he knows all about Carl's.
Carl's. Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
So
we told him about you too.
We were talking about you. Yeah,
Carl's guy.
What's on
and
your
I
mind?
Would, I'd imagine if he stopped in there, he's probably met Obi once or twice. Just kind of recap the draft. You know, I thought with the Niners moving out of the first round, I wasn't too upset with that. I thought that was probably some smart moves, and especially with the Cardinals taking Love, who I don't think that's the best fit for them. And with the Rams taking Ty, I just didn't, you know, I think that just was not a good pick, and I have to agree with Brockman. So I was kind of excited that the two divisional rivals kind of made some hiccups there in the first round.
Yeah, buddy.
I just think the Niners kind of reached for some of the players that we drafted. And, you know, I would have really liked Jennings Dunkard there in the third instead of taking the running back from Indiana. I thought that he would have fit in perfectly with this team. And so we'll see how it turns out. You know, I'm not in the room, like we always say. I don't think we addressed our needs like we needed to.
I don't know. I mean, the Niners and Lynch are getting beat up right now. I mean, let's see how Deshaun Stribling looks. And Kalen Black, he was the first non-combine player drafted third round. I watched him play with Indiana, and I think he's going to do well for you. We shall see. And thanks for the call. I don't know. The Niners, I know that their drafts get low rated, but they seem to get some gems, man. And then, you know, last year, a lot of those defenders that they drafted for Saleh turned out to be okay. I mean, they damn near won their conference. Yeah.
You are seeing that a lot, though, this today of like, why do the Niners always reach in their draft? Well,
dude, you know the video of watching the Bills fans so upset that Josh Allen got drafted? You see that? Doesn't age well at all. You know, C minus for Patrick Mahomes from certain, like, you know, please.
Yeah.
Fernando Mendoza, you know, well, let's see what he can do, for instance. Right? He wouldn't even be first overall if it was a different draft.
You know, that's probably true.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's now a Las Vegas Raider, and he got welcomed by his teammates via text. Interesting who hit him up.
Yeah, I was blessed. This morning and last night, I was able to get a text from a couple of guys like Max Crosby, Tyler Linderbaum, Colton Miller, and Kirk Cousins. And I'm sure there's been more. I'm looking forward out to reaching out to all my new teammates and most of those guys. It's been a whirlwind in the past couple of hours. But Kirk sent me a really nice text. I'm looking forward to working with him, learning anything I can from him, and just the great, not only teammates that I'm able to learn from, but also the great coaches.
Mm-hmm. Max Crosby, welcome to the team, kid. Tyler Linderbaum, welcome to the team. Colton Miller, I mean, they got some players there, man. So if you haven't reached out to Fernando and you're on the Raiders, I suggest you do it.
Fernando's ready to sell you a whole term life insurance.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I'm just saying, you know, nice gray suit. Just, yeah, you know, it looks like he's ready to. You want 20-year, 30-year?
Yeah. You want low monthly payments?
Yeah. What kind of coverage you need? Like, we got you. Although the video of him being like, you know, LFG, that's great. The Brady's already rubbing off on him. I do like that. Did you see that at the...
Yeah, did you see he also updated his LinkedIn? He took out the open to work label.
He's got to.
He's ready to work.
He's ready to work.
Ready to work.
He is ready
to
work.
He's going
to
start week one.
Chris, I don't want to end it like Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah.
I'm Team CD here.
Like Chris, like I said, we were told for months, he's drafted number one, he's playing. And now all of a sudden, he's not going to start.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Kirk Cousins is there now. But that's for tomorrow's show. Kenny Chesney and Ray Romano in studio. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.